Despite the pathetic decline of her family, Miss Bart was everything Rosedale could ever hope to conquer in New York, for though he was growing wealthier by the week, he was only and irremediably a Jew, and she was his aristocratic antithesis. She had grace, style, and legendary beauty. Moreover, she still had impeccable connections, even now in 1904, a decade after her family tragedy. A valuable acquisition, she could be his cicerone through the vast social labyrinth. But she seemed to be ineffably out of reach, despite every attempt he had thus far made to scrape acquaintance with her. Every one of his efforts had left him tongue-tied, awkward, or worse, humiliated. Striding along the near empty street was having the desired effect, however, and just as his thoughts were turning from Miss Bart to business, he realized he was about to pass the handsome Georgian-style building of flats he owned, and that always gave him a vivifying sense of pride and solidity. Rosedale glanced up at the approaching building and barely escaped knocking over a woman issuing forth from the entrance. Drawing back in surprise, he stammered,
"Why, it's Miss Bart."
"Ah, Mr. Rosedale," she said with evident reluctance, "how are you?"
Miss Bart was clearly put out by seeing him, yet he drank in her presence like a pauper falling upon a feast. The street was quite deserted, and despite the early September heat, she was as lustrously cool as a vision in her plain blue linen traveling suit. Her dark, broad-brimmed hat and veil made her mysterious, for they shielded the celebrated pale oval face and her penetrating gray eyes with their remarkable dark lashes. But what on earth was she doing there? Rosedale knew for a fact that the Benedicts' sole tenants were bachelors. Rosedale tried hiding his surprise and hoped that his face expressed nothing but pleasure at their meeting. Yet his heart sank. He raised his hat and stuttered out a ragged hello. Then he blurted the first thing that came to mind, cringing inside at his own familiarity, even while the words hovered in the heavy air between them.
"Been up to town for a little shopping?"
Good God, how clumsy he was. He barely knew Miss Bart, however much he craved her company. Flustered, Miss Bart looked as if she longed for escape.
I was seeing my dressmaker, Mr. Rosedale, on the way to a house party at Gus and Judy Trenner's country home."
Mrs. Trenner was one of New York's wealthiest hostesses, given to lordly disregard of her rivals and wanton expenditure on her gowns, her jewels, and her entertainments. She was naturally envied, but only up to a point, for the source of this prodigality was her husband Gus, a soulless brute, even by New York standards.
"Your dressmaker? Is that a fact? I wasn't aware of any dressmakers in the Benedict,"
Rosedale noted, glancing up with nearly paternal admiration at the imposing white limestone facade, with its striped awnings and window boxes filled with petunias and mignonette.
"The Benedict? Is that the name of this building?" Miss Bart wondered blankly, and then seemed to catch herself.
Rosedale was sure he could detect a slight flush on her face. Was it the heat, the circumstances of their meeting, her unconvincing explanation for being there, her not knowing the building's name? No, it was him. Rosedale knew that immediately when he foolishly appended,
"You see, I happen to own this building."
Her flush deepened, and he felt his breath come more quickly. Was there a sight more hypnotic in the world than the rush of blood to a beautiful woman's face? It almost made him tremble. But the cause of that blush. Could he have said anything more guaranteed to set Miss Bart's teeth on edge? To speak of owning the Benedick sounded so damnably like bragging, so much exactly what her kind classed as hopelessly Jewish. See how wealthy I am. It was even worse, really. She would surely imagine he was intimating that he knew she had visited the Benedick for a reason altogether different than the one she'd proffered.
"My brougham is not far off. You must let me take you to your train," he said,
glancing about for his driver, desperate to do something that would redeem his clumsiness, hungry to have her close, to have her enjoy his hospitality in a spanking new carriage, to be seen escorting the Lily Bart to Grand Central Station.
"You're very kind, but I wouldn't dream of troubling you, Mr. Rosedale."
With obvious desperation, she hailed a hansom cab just then passing by. He couldn't help noticing the handsome sapphire bracelet jouncing on her slim wrist as she quickly, dismissively, gave him her thinly gloved hand in farewell and rushed into the waiting cab, as if Rosedale were an importunate creditor. Rosedale watched her departure with despair. Badly done, he thought, plucking at his mustaches. Miserably done.